you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio Show. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and it wouldn't be a show if I didn't tell you that is not my government name. So, without further ado, I will just go ahead and bring on Rob Zarek.
How are you doing?
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to co-host, I don't know, again this evening for like the 100th and some time. And I look forward to tonight's show talking ghost hunting. It's kind of, you know, we've kind of mixed it up over the past, 4 months. We've had a lot of different topics and dove into different things. And now we're going kind of back to our backbone of ghost hunting for tonight's show.
Right.
So I'm excited.
Yeah,
and not just
too.
Because the preparation had to be minimal. I'm just legitimately excited.
Exactly.
And it was funny earlier. I was scrolling through my previous messages by mistake with Grant, and we had him on 5 years ago. And at that point, I was like, "Wow, it's been 5 years since we had you on." So apparently, there's some sort of like unwritten rule that we have to have Grant Wilson on every 5 years.
Huh. I did not realize that.
But now you do, and now the audience knows, and it's factual. You know, a lot of times there might be something that I will say that is just like for, you know, giggle's sake or whatever, but that's an actual factual statement.
Very nice. We keep it consistent without even realizing it.
You know, there was, I forget who the other guest was, but I guess probably if I remembered, it would make the story 10 times better. But there was somebody that we had on like 3 years in a row that
Bob
we
Merch.
Didn't even realize, and it was to the date. Yeah, it was Bob Merchant. I think it was also Tim Woolworth. Remember we had him on, and it was like, wow, we had you on this time again, or last year we had you on a year before. And there was like no reason why. It was just like,
right.
And we have a lot of that happen.
Weird.
That's how we roll.
That's right. We wouldn't roll if we didn't roll weird. You know.
It is a paranormal talk radio show, so.
It's only
natural. You know, I think
natural.
It's those weird coincidences that we don't necessarily even plan, like having Grant on every 5 years almost to the date that happened.
Exactly.
That make it seem like it's supposed to be. So I think we should just bring him on and we should start talking, you know, ghost hunting and whatever else we do. Maybe see if he had a good holiday. You know, hopefully
yeah.
He had a good one. Because if he had a bad one, it'd be kind of a crappy interview. But
yeah,
you know, we'll, yeah. We've never had anyone come on and be like, "Hey, holiday," like, no. You know, and I guess research would help that, but we'll have to have him tell us.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's bring on Grant.
Okay. I will bring him on live. Hello.
Grant, how's it going?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
It's
long
good.
Time no
it's
talk,
been
from what
while.
I understand.
5 years.
Every 5 years, like clockwork. I don't know. The fates have decided. The greatness that happens from talking to you guys can only happen once every 5 years.
That's right.
It's either that or only hope you can take. I hope there's more 5 years to come. You know, that's the thing. You know, I hope we have like 10 more of them.
It keeps us living in between those 5 years.
Yes.
You know? We got to come back for 5 years.
Looking forward to something. Like
how
halfway
you guys doing,
through,
right?
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, how about
we're
you?
Doing good.
I'm doing very well. I'm very, very, very busy. So I'm glad that you're able to carve out this time, Rob. I mean, we got to try to do it sooner, not 5 years every day.
Yeah.
Well, let's maybe shoot for like 2.5. Why? We don't want to go like crazy. Let's try to cut it in half to start with and then go from there. Maybe go from like 2.5 to like
yeah,
maybe
I don't
yearly.
Need you. Don't need you like showing up at my house every, you know, 2 weeks or something.
No.
What have you been doing the last 5 years?
Yeah, there's a ton
of
talk
about. What have I been
doing
the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've done a lot. I've never stopped investigating, you know. Been able to, you know, as my kids get older, in fact, my youngest, he just finally got his license. So all three are driving now, feeling old. But my wife and I have been able to investigate together even more than we normally do, and that's always a blast. So been doing that, started my YouTube channel, got a lot of good information up there, and I'll be doing more on that coming up. But, you know, my whole year kind of ran away with me with the whole new Ghost Hunters reboot. So that's been a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, especially now. Executive producing it. My wife's a producer on it as well. And it's been crazy. Started a board game company, you know, and then made 11 games and then sold it and just run around doing crazy stuff, you know, trying to scratch all those itches, you know?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Well, I know firsthand. Because, you know, that's how I like to roll as well. I like to have like 10 things going on at one time.
Yeah.
Now, Nicole does not appreciate that. She's like, hey, dummy, why don't you make and like focus on one thing? And I'm like, she's like, your phone call just made me, we talk on the phone. I'll be like, hey, I got this and going on. She's like, oh my God, you gave me a headache. Focus on one thing. So, you know, I can appreciate your enthusiasm and the way you handle things, because I know you, like, every time I had talked to you, and I've talked to you you know, here and there, it really hasn't been 5 years, but it's been 5 years since you've been on.
No.
But it seems like anything,
yeah,
like anytime I talk to you, I always have like something new going on. It's like it wouldn't like phase me if you're like, oh yeah, now I'm an astronaut. I'm like, wow, that's crazy, you know. It's like something bizarre. You're like, well, I just put out a CD. Oh yeah, I've got a gaming company. Oh yeah, I'm gonna investigate. Like, so, like, whatever you tell me, I'll just be like, yeah, I'm sure it's true because, you know, I'm flying to the moon. All right. Well, that's cool. That's what I got going on.
Looking for ghosts on the moon. Hello. And making board games about ghosts on the moon. How about that? There you go.
Now you're talking. That's my language.
Yeah.
No, I got a lot of stuff, you know, in the works right now. I always do exciting, you know, fun stuff. So a lot of it I can't talk about, but, you know, a lot of talks, a lot of things going on, and always moving, always shaking, always trying to, you know, add to the world. You know, a lot of people just sit at home and consume. You know, I try to make more and add more to the world than I take in. You know, I'm a creative mind. I love creating, and I love the mysteries of the paranormal and, well, helping people deal with them. I mean, that's my passion. I almost consider myself a paranormal therapist more than a paranormal investigator, because I've gotten to the point where I'm just helping people, you know, like, I mean, I've always done that, but I can help a lot of people through phone and email and stuff like that. I don't even have to go there, just because, you know, you do something like this long enough and you intensely help people, it's very easy to kind of get to the bottom of it and help them. So I've got a lot of projects, you know, that are doing that in creative ways. And that's always going to be my passion, whether it's in the limelight or not. And, you know, just pursuing other creative ideas. You'll see soon, I'm sure. I hope.
Well, if we hear that you're going to be an astronaut, we know you stole it from our show. That's where you got the, I like to think that you give good advice.
The moon ghost hunt. Watch. It'll be
James.
Yeah,
you gotta
Grant
find
Wilson.
Those Nazis that lived on the moon, right?
There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Conspiracy.
The ghosts therein.
nothing would surprise me.
Not at all.
Well, and I know. Well, you know, you talk about, you know, helping people, and I've always found you to be one of the more, or most, I don't know most, because that's a high thing to say, but
yeah.
Probably one of the most approachable people in the genre.
Yeah.
Anytime I've seen you, you've always like, hey, Rob, how's it going? You know, and you've taken time out to talk, and we've, you know, talked and had fun, and, you know, it's never been, you know, there's others that will kind of put their nose up in the air, and God only knows why. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to commend you on that, because anytime we've seen you, you've always been more than like warm and welcoming, and I've always appreciated that about you.
Wow, well, thank you. I mean, that's just, I really don't know how to be any different. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I appreciate it. The same. I mean, you guys are always super friendly and sweet, and you know, I just never understood
funny
what makes people think that they're better than anyone else. I just don't understand that.
Thank you.
But
I agree.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, if we threw everyone's problems in a pile and dished them out, you know, evenly, we'd all wish we had our original ones, you know? So it's like everyone's coming from somewhere, you know? I never understood that. And I get it. I mean, the more people who know who you are, the less time you have to yourself. I mean, I know that firsthand, but it also takes less time to lift somebody up, you know, because just meeting you a lot of the times, you know, make somebody's day or week or year or whatever, you know. So that's a nice little kind of hidden paycheck in what I've been able to do is, you know, I use that. I don't forget that, you know, if that makes sense. But I appreciate
it. No,
it
totally does.
I very rarely give out compliments, so that was actually, and she'll tell you firsthand. She's like, yeah, he doesn't say anything nice about anybody.
He doesn't.
But, so,
wow, that's why I can only call once every 5 years or you break.
Yeah. too many compliments, and I start stuttering. It's like, it's just bad for the health.
Yeah.
But no, I've always appreciated that. I've always, you know, what I always enjoyed about what you have done is that, you know, and both of us are in the same mentality is when you're investigating, if you don't get anything, you don't get anything. That's it.
Right.
You know, and
yes.
You say, hey, we
of
didn't
course.
Get anything, you know, and there's a lot of people out there and, we won't get into who or what or where, but Nicole does this whole song and dance, and it's pretty funny about, you know, someone, you know, different shows, and, you know, they go into a show and they're like, hey, this is the place where they do this, this, and this, and next thing you know, this, and this has just happened on camera. You know, but you have always been, you know, hey, we didn't get anything, or, you know, hey, let's dig down deeper. You know, I remember some early episodes where you've heard something and you're like, yeah, that can't be right. You know, and you're pulling down tiles and stuff. I think that was what the that was in California. You know, I don't know if I can mention names and stuff. I know
sure,
where it was and I know who it was, but I don't even know the outcome of that because it was so long ago. But I remember the voice was so clear. You're like, you know, that can't be right. And you're sitting there like pulling. I think you guys actually were like pulling ceiling tiles and stuff down and like looking in the basement and stuff. And you're like, well, that's not right, you know. So I've always appreciated.
Yeah, that was Moss Beach Distillery out in California, and they had stuff intentionally rigged. But the guy who gave us the tour and stuff was the head chef, and he was told specifically by I guess the owner or whoever to not mention that stuff. And so we were supposed to, you know, find the blue lady or whatever's there, or try to figure it all out. And instead, we found all this, you know, trickery. And a lot of it was broken.
Was it the glasses
and
stuff?
Yeah, well, they had ceiling fans that would move. They had a face that would show up in the mirror, or laughter when you go in the bathroom. And it was all mechanical. So, you know, Jay and I spent most of our time fixing these things because they weren't working. So, like, you know, we fixed the chandeliers and made sure they worked and all that stuff. And it was a shame. I mean, it was – to me, it's fun because an answer is an answer. You know, Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily looking for ghosts. I just want to figure out what's going on. And that was so black and white that I enjoyed it, but it was sad because we didn't, you know, we spent all our time fixing these gags instead of, you know, reaching out to the entities there, where if they had just told us ahead of time, we would have appreciated that. Okay, I get it. You're trying to create an atmosphere. No problem. You know, and well, let's ignore it and move on to the entities. But because they didn't tell us, we had to deal with it then. But, you know, to me, that's what it's all about. It's all, you know, if you're out finding a ghost, you're going to find it, whether it's there or not. And I think that's kind of an increasing problem in the field right now. There are a lot of problems as I go out and meet other teams and, you know, watch TV shows. And that's a big one, is people are so desperate for validation that they'll put anything out there, any piece of equipment or device. And if that thing's not blinking or making a sound, then they feel like they're not making any progress. Where, you know, when my wife and I go to investigations, we hardly bring anything. We bring an EMF detector and a digital recorder. Like, you don't, you know, you start to get hypnotized by the equipment, and people start to think, like I said, if this thing's not blinking or making a noise or spitting out a word or whatever, then I'm not making progress. And they don't really care subconsciously what the device is measuring or care to know or understand the tool. They just want some kind of blinking reaction or an app going to tell them there's a ghost around them and all that stuff. And that's the problem. If you focus on trying to help people, it all becomes very, very clear, because you can't afford to lie to yourself. You know, you have to find the truth. And whether it's bad plumbing or you're a ghost, you're equally satisfied.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, I was on a soapbox there for a minute.
No, I love it. I have a term that I call, like, we use ghost boxes. You know, we use it for, you know, on TV or video, it's definitely instant gratification. So, you know, people can see it in real time. On our tours, you know, you can listen to it. But I use the term responsible ghost boxing, which, you know, I guess could be taken different ways. But, you know, we've gone on investigations where people have used the ghost box and they've let the ghost box lead their investigation, which is the complete wrong way to do it. You know, we have our normal example. No, where, you know, you say, what's your name? And, you know, you're obviously picking up a ball game and you hear hot dog. And you're like, you know, the question's, what's your name? And there you get hot dog is the response. And you're like, oh, my God, they're hungry. You know, and then next thing you know, they hear green and they're like, oh, my God, they want a green hot dog. You know, it's like, no, that's not right. You know, so I think as long as you're responsible, you know, it's okay to try out some of the new stuff. And, you know, some of the gadgets maybe are beyond me, or, you know, and maybe I'm not using, you know, my open mindset that I should be using. But, you know, there's things, as long as you use it responsibly, then, you know, it's cool. And you get, the progress you want.
Yeah, I totally agree. To me, it's, you know, whenever you use something, I tend to use equipment that gives me the data that I can then interpret to see what the truth is, rather than something I throw on the bed that's going to say ghost here. You know, I don't want the device to make that decision for me. So I don't want devices with a built-in bias. Like the SLS camera, it's fantastic, but it's definitely biased. It's looking for a person no matter what. You know, things like that. And ghost boxes and stuff, yeah, you have to lead that conversation. You have to be in control of that conversation. You have to be firm, and you can't let it waver. And when you have a room full of people on a tour who really want to experience something, that's very difficult to do. So to me, it's very – another one of the big problems, I'm back on my soapbox, is confusing ghost hunting with paranormal investigation. They're two very different things, you know? Yep. So if you want to go to Waverly Hills and bring a truck full of equipment, experimental stuff, ghost boxes, whatever, and let it rip and experiment with it, or try to experience your own thing, you know, and you're not trying to help a person. You're just trying to have an experience. That's ghost hunting. You know, you can use all that crazy equipment, but when you're in somebody's home trying to help them, you can't use that stuff in good conscience, you know, you have to use tools that have a warranty, that are calibrated, that, you know, regular industries depend on, you know, to make money. You know, you have to use these fine, refined tools that are guaranteed and backed up and protected, that will produce stable data that you can then analyze. If you, because, you know, you have to then interpret it. And if you know your bias is clean, then this equipment can't lead you astray, you know?
Right.
So I think a lot of people, I meet a lot of people and they'll say, oh, yeah, I have a paranormal investigation team. And they're ghost hunters. And one isn't better mm-hmm. than the other. They're just two different things and two different goals. You know, mm-hmm. if I go into someone's house whose home is haunted, I use my equipment with surgical precision. I don't just spray and pray, you know. I have,
right.
like I said, I usually go in with a digital recorder and an EMF detector, and that's it. But once I've learned the situation, I'll come back with just mm-hmm. the right equipment. You know, if you want a screw and a screw, you don't need your whole toolbox, right? You just need a screwdriver.
Right.
And I'm off the
yeah,
toolbox.
No, it's true.
Well, and then
no,
like,
I agree,
you know, our last show, you know, we kind of just talked about different theories and stuff. And the one thing that, you know, is debatable, and it's debatable based on, I think, even where you're going, is do you know in advance of the paranormal claims in the history or do you not? You know, and we have the luxury mm-hmm. sometimes of having a person, a historian who goes in and does all the research. You know, Nicole loves to do the research. You know, that's her thing. But sometimes it's good not to know. You know, so it's mm-hmm. kind of cool. One thing that we've been coming up with and we've had lately is a person who knows and who's with us,
yeah.
but that, you know, doesn't necessarily tell us. You know, but then, you know, we were at an investigation where we got through the ghost box, it was an EVP, through a recorder, the hog. And I was thinking, oh, he's a hog, you know, hog. You know, I didn't naturally think it was a last name, but apparently hog, the last name, was relevant to the building. And the gentleman
yeah.
who mm-hmm. did the research was like, oh, that's a last name, and it's relevant. So it was kind of mm-hmm. interesting to have that, you know, that luxury of having someone there who knew, but yet mm-hmm. it wasn't us and it wasn't tainting our investigation. Because, you know, we go into
yeah.
a place where little Johnny died, and the next thing you know is everyone's just looking for Johnny and nothing else. There could be full body apparitions just going right by you. And you're like, well, that's not Johnny. It's not registering, you know? So
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know. What's your thought process on that?
So I feel like it depends on the age of your team. Like when you're new, it's good to, when you're newer, I think there has to be at least one person that knows what's going on. That's usually the case manager, because they've talked to the people, they have all the mm-hmm. information. You know, they do the research on the property. They you need to have that, or else you're going to miss you're just going to waste time, you know. Mm-hmm. But then as you get a more established, more experienced team, it doesn't matter how much information you know ahead of time, because they've trained themselves to address, you know, you can address stuff for an entity specifically, but keep it open for whoever's there. There's a certain protocol you have where you make sure you don't ostracize anybody who's trying to come through, and you cover all the spots you need to cover, instead of just focusing on the attic where the girl burned to death or whatever. It was terrible, I know, but where, you know, I think probably the most ideal situation is at least one person has an intimate knowledge of that property. And, you know, mm-hmm. the team that I was kind of training on the Ghost Hunters reboot, they're all experienced investigators, but, you know, I'm just older than most of them, and I've been doing it for longer. So it's these things, these little kind of tips, and that's one of them. Our guy Mustafa knows everything that he could find, but the rest of them know what the client's needs are, what the client's history is, you know, and they know the claims, and they know the general history. You know, if you're going to a military base, well, you know, walking up to it, that it's a military base. But you have mm-hmm. to, you just can't, you, if you're a newer group, yes, one person needs to know everything, and everyone else should mm-hmm. should only get the amount of information they want.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be flying in there necessarily completely blind. But if you have an older group, you just, you can, everyone can have all the information if they want, but you, you know, you work appropriately so that that information doesn't take over, just like at the spirit box or the ghost box session, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're experienced with it, you know how to lead that conversation so you don't get fooled.
Right.
Well, I think it's very easy to get fooled.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't see that stuff on the reboot. I mean, we're very specific with our equipment. And really, really good equipment that you'll see in season two. Some things that we're trying out that are just blowing our mind. And we admit that we are not necessarily proficient with it, but we lean on astrophysicists and, you know, physicists and you know, professors and scientists who are very familiar with the equipment. You know, like I'm talking right now with, you know, engineers at Microsoft about some of their equipment that's being used, like in the SLS camera, trying to get inside their head. So we lean on what you see in the reboot is us. You know, when we don't have the information, we lean on the professionals who do. And so right. I'm not just running out there with a Geiger counter or something, and I've never used one before. You know, if I don't know how to use it, I have the professionals to lean on.
Right.
And I think that's very important. Yeah.
Definitely.
So now with all these, like, the new tools and gadgets and stuff, and we just had the holidays come up, are you the kind of guy, you know, who wants paranormal stuff for the holidays, or do you just, you know, is not the thing? Because, you know, some people do, some people don't. You know, it's each their own, but I'm just curious, you know, with you, you're like, hey, I want something that's paranormal related, or are you just kind of like shy away from it because it's your everyday life?
Well, usually it's something that, you know, if I need it, you know, I know it's more of a hobby, but I'll just get it because you need it. You know what I mean? So come Christmas time, you usually have what you need anyway. But if there's a big ticket item, you're like, you know, maybe we can get this. And we usually don't anyway because it's usually too expensive. But, you know, for Christmas, it's Christmas. You know, I like to spend Christmas Day, you know. It's nice to have something new to wear, something to build. I'm a big Lego guy, so, you know, even though I'm 45, I still get Legos here and there or a puzzle or something. But paranormal equipment, I'm not a gearhead with it. Like, I'm not a tech junkie. I understand all the tech and I have the tools, but I don't get silly with it. Like I said, I don't need 14 screwdrivers, you know? Yeah, this year I got from my friend Chris, who's a professional, sound engineer. He makes microphones and stuff for music artists and all sorts of stuff. He got me a new binaural microphone he's trying out, where he's improved a lot of the things about it. I don't want to give away secrets because I don't think it's available yet. But so I get stuff like that, which is cool. So I get a lot of equipment from people to try out. Yeah.
Well,
so on
your
most
full.
Recent reboot, what would you say was your favorite location? I know it's like picking a favorite child, but what do you think was like your most memorable or most exciting location that you guys shot at?
On the last season here, the reboot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very emotional. The first season was exactly the kind of show I wanted to put out there. You know, emotional, digging deep. And there was so much more we did at each place that never made it. Season two will be a little bit different, but I'm very proud of what we did. And every case was so emotional with the clients. You know, that's what I like to do. I'm not a big fan of, like, I love places like Eastern State Penn or Waverly Hills. I love the owners. I love walking through them. It's fun. It's neat. But I always feel like I've got nothing to do there, you know, because the owners are fine with it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't like just walking through empty buildings, you know, I like sitting down across the coffee table or whatever from someone who's really in pain. And so those are the episodes, those are the cases that really stick with me. And one was with Tony in New York, where, you know, it was he was terrified to be in his house. And it turns out that it was most likely his mother and the previous owner of the house possibly became friends. And it's just fascinating to me. And to see him go from terror to tears of joy, and, you know, and wanting to sell his house, going from wanting to sell his house to loving it even more. That's the stuff that just keeps me going. And there was a case in Connecticut we did. And the woman, a single mom, and she was terrified with her son, Lonnie, a young boy. And, you know, we were able to really figure out that that place was most likely residual. And, you know, her son was supposed to sleep on the third floor of the house, but he would have to sleep down near his mom. And, you know, after we got in there, we heard back from her, and he's able to sleep in his proper room up on the third floor because of what we were able to show him and explain to him. And I sat down with him and drew pictures with him and really, you know, got him. Because when you draw pictures with a kid, you get more than just what they're saying, you know. Because if they draw a shadow, like, oh, I saw a shadow in the room, okay, well, draw it, you know. And if it's big and scary, then you understand that kid's hiding something. But the shadow he drew was very kind of peaceful, sitting there on the couch. You know, it's stuff like that. It's just those cases just get me, you know, way more than a hospital or a jail or something like that.
No, we agree totally. You know, I think there's a reward even when we go out and we, like, you know, do a lecture or speak. I think when people come and talk to us after the fact, and, you know, we get all the stress, and you know, it's nice to talk to them and they're like, hey, this is happening to us, and then, you know, they're feeling like they're crazy, and you know, we might be crazy too, but we can at least tell them, hey, you're not alone. You know, and, you know, there's been so many times where people are like, we've experienced this, or we're experiencing this with our child, or, you know, and then we have a story that we can at least say, well, you know, we know this has happened here. We have this example, and you're not, you know, just to let them know they're not alone. And I think that is, you know, one thing that we enjoy probably the most out of, you know, anything that we can do is, you know, sharing that simple knowledge and comfort compared to, you know, what any distress they might be coming to that specific lecture or event for, you know, and that's what we do a lot in the, we've done some in the pop culture where people don't, it's not just like a paranormal event. And it's nice because, you know, at paranormal events, people are sitting there with their judging eyes. They're like, oh, you guys do it this way. That's dumb. You know, but in the, in the more pop culture, you know, it's, you know, you have people who have legitimate distress and fears and questions. And, you know, I think that's probably along the same lines of how you feel. And, you know, that is very rewarding.
Yeah. To me, it's so great. Like I said, ghost hunting is great, and it gives us a chance to experiment and gives you that freedom without necessarily a client or anything. You can have some fun and really reach out there and get a sense of what's going on. But the real reward is helping those people in their homes. And there are different, to me, there are like three ways to help people, you know. You know, whenever I'm sitting there talking to the supervising producer of the show, and they're like, so what's your plan? I'm like, same thing it's always been. We're going to do this, this, and this. And that is, we're going to try to disprove whatever we can. Right? Because if I can disprove that spooky ghost is just a draft or bad plumbing, boom, that's comfort. Right? The next step is, okay, let me try to experience what you're experiencing, whether it's paranormal or not. Right? So if you say every time you sit in that chair by the window, you see a figure looking in, well, I'm going to sit in that chair by the window And if I see a figure looking in, whether I can disprove it or not, at least I've seen it too. And that brings me comfort. And then it's trying to reach out to the entities, trying to understand what's going on, if there's an intelligent entity or not or whatever. And through that, helping them put a name and a face to what's in their home, if it is paranormal, possibly is paranormal. And that, through that process, knowing who it may be, again, brings comfort. So that's that's the motivation for every single thing I do, and my wife and I do when we investigate, is how can we bring comfort to the living and to the dead? And, you know, that to me is everything. It really is. That's why it's like, am I a paranormal investigator? Yeah, I guess, but I don't run around like you see, you know, a lot like that. I'm just mostly sitting down, and then I do those three things to try to bring comfort to people. So you guys sound like it's the same situation.
Mm-hmm. That could just be your old age, though, sitting down and not doing it, running around too. That might just be that could be that.
No, I do run around, but.
Right. I just sit in a chair and do nothing.
For a very specific purpose.
It sounds like you got super old really fast over the last 5 years. You just sit in a chair.
They wheel me in and I sit down. You know, I never have to stand.
Yeah.
No.
What I like to do is I get my Afghan and I just sit and find a recliner. And
Bob, you're the only one who's wrapped up in an Afghan all the time.
You know what? It's sad. The sad truth is I had told you that I tore my calf earlier this summer.
Yes.
And the thing that hurt the most,
yes,
was when I went to the doctor. The doctor's like, oh, you know, it's that's typical, you know, for a middle-aged man. And I was like, what do you you know, that hurt more than anything. It was the fact that he was like, you know, for a middle-aged man, it's a very typical injury. It's very common. And, you know, the pain that I was in was more mental after a while. And I still don't like telling that story, but there is some humor to it. So, you know, for listeners' sake, and I'm sure they laugh, it was just an awful comment. It's like you kick somebody
while
they're
down. I know,
it's
funny. I was at an event with one of my friends. These, you know, middle to upper teenage girls came up and they asked for like where the bathroom was, and they're like, "Oh, go around there, and there's a bathroom there." And then the two of them were, as they're walking away, one's like, "Oh, I thought the bathroom was over there," and they're like, "Well, let's listen to what those old guys said. They seem smart." It's like, oh.
Ouch.
Yeah. At least they said we were smart, man. So that's good.
I don't think that's good.
Not
wise. I mean, if you want to pull something out, yeah, I guess wise would be worse. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that you try to pull a glimmer of something positive out of, but there's nothing positive to come out of. At least they didn't say creepy old guys. I guess that would have been worse.
Yeah.
That would have been that would have just hurt.
Yeah, you wouldn't recover from that, nor would you ever tell the story. That would just be like,
right,
struck from the thing. Yeah, they never said that.
Great.
Well, we definitely appreciate you having you on, you know, and we can talk. You know, when we set this up, we're like, hey, 25 minutes, we've already exceeded that. You know, we can keep going. That's up to you. And I know, you know, it's been 5 years, so we have 5 years to cover. So, you know, I don't know how you do that in 25 minutes. It's like, where do we go from here? I have like 20 things that we could talk about.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I guess – What I wanted to go over was just, you know, just let people know that for when it comes to people who are on television, I think, you know, you're one of the most down to earth. And, you know, I always appreciated your the way you attack an investigation, because it's very similar to the way we attack our investigations. And
yeah.
Great.
You know, so I think we'll have to one day when, you know, in the next 5 years, we should actually investigate together.
Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
We've never done that.
No, we haven't.
No, but we did watch a piece of Zoolander, you know, in the elevator.
Yeah,
scary.
We had that.
You can't. We haven't done that with everybody, so you know, we can say we have that struck on our list.
That
we
was
watched
at
a little bit of Zoolander at Scarefest in the elevator.
I think that's the last time we saw you in person, and you were promoting your games, and you had your crew for your game there, and they were all nice. And I remember the one guy had the wrong name tag, and I think his name tag said Kate, and it was like his wife or something, and he was running around Kate, and I kept calling him Kate. And I think that's the actual name. I have a pretty decent memory, and I think he went by Kate.
I could
be wrong, but he'll always be Kate.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Good time.
But no, we should investigate together. We have some great places, and I don't think we're that far apart logistically when you're not filming and stuff. So we'll have to invite you out one time. You can say no. That's cool. But, we'll still put the invite out there. And,
yeah, we'll still invite you.
It's got to be 5 years in between. That's all.
Yeah.
We're actually really busy right now. We're finishing up filming season two of the new Ghost Hunters. And like I said, and it's going really, really well. Really went to some extreme places. You know, we focused on going places that people hadn't been to before or some homes and things. And it's been crazy. It's been a lot of work. But we're excited. Everyone's asking, hey, when is it coming back? And the only information we got from the network was after the new year. Well, that came and went. So it should be within the next couple of months, but we don't know for sure, but they're anxious. Mm-hmm. And that's cool because it's giving us the time to do an even more thorough job. Like season one was a little bit rushed. So it's very stressful, but, positive. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The team is really kicking butt. They're all wonderful people. Of all the people I know in the paranormal, I had a problem, right? Because you need people who are experienced in the paranormal. You need people who are good at it, right? Mm-hmm. You need people who are nice, and people who have the flexibility to actually film a show. And so that limits you. And I was like, I could get people from all over, people I know, and bring them in. And I realized that was a trap, like if I had you guys on the show, now everyone else who I know is going to get mad at me and all stuff, it's just like, ugh. So, we found this team and they're fantastic. They're wonderful people. And you mentioned, being real and approachable. These guys are the same way. I've watched them interact with fans and they're just very humble and sweet and, quick to help. They're just good people. So I'm glad to be working with them. I know it's a lot to ask everyone to trust a new, different team. But everyone on the old team is kind of like split up doing their own things. And we hope to have some of the old members on here and there. But, that's ultimately up to them. And it has to make sense. I'm not just going to bring them on for star power. I got to bring them on because that client needs an expertise that they have. So,
very cool.
That's been the main focus, and then executive producing it, takes a lot of work. So been very, very, very busy, but it's very rewarding. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely look forward to that whenever it might be out. And if you could tell everyone, you mentioned your YouTube channel at the beginning. Could you tell everyone what channel that is so they can go over there and subscribe?
Yeah, honestly, it's very easy. You go to YouTube and type in Grant Wilson and it should pop up, but it's youtube.com/TheGrantWilson because whoever Grant Wilson is not giving it up. So it's
right.
Grant Wilson. Yeah.
Which is fine.
And I do a show on
again?
There. Oh, sorry. It's youtube.com/TheGrantWilson. And you can go to my website.
I had to put that in there.
Yeah, you can go to my website, grantswilson.com, and you can see, you can get to it from there. And
cool.
And I have a show on there I do called What the Fetch, and it's just, it's fun. I think you get a good sense of my mentality, some good tips in there, and it's a fun ride. It's not ever too serious, and it's not spooky, it's fun. Mm-hmm. More geeky than
good.
Anything. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate geeky because.
Well,
I know
and I'm gonna leave you with this.
There, so.
I think you made my night, and you didn't even mean to make my. You had no idea. And Nicole will know what I'm about to say.
I totally
and I
do.
Stopped you because I wanted you to repeat this. You are the
what?
Way you pronounce it, the. So I always, if you look at our stuff, you know, we are the Live Paranormal, and I say the, and it drives her crazy. And she's like, why do you put the stupid the in front of it? And why do you say the? I'm like, well, because, you know, I'm from Ohio. So if you're from Ohio, you say the Ohio State University, and it just it classes it up a little bit. So I appreciate the fact that you have your URL is the Grant Wilson, and you pronounce it the. And so now you're my new best friend because
you're number one.
Be like, hey,
yeah,
I'm not the only one.
I knew where this is going. It's just because of Facebook. He's got the Live Paranormal, and I'm like, give it up, boy. Because
it's
he made
the
Live Paranormal page the Live Paranormal. And I'm like, you've got to change it up. And he's like, no, I refuse. I knew this was going there. So.
Because when you say the,
I don't know.
I mean, the sounds so like dumb. But it's the, it's like, you know, it's classy.
Well, the is more conversational. Like, what's the problem?
Right.
I don't say, what's the problem? What's the problem?
You could,
Ricky?
It'd be classy.
I don't know. It's just...
maybe I should start saying D for everything.
Oh, he'll drive me crazy. He'll do it too, and that's the worst part because I'll hang up on him on the way to work when he's calling me, and
she won't call me back either. Which is like, I've learned the lesson. Like, I'll say something stupid just to make her mad, and then she'll hang up, and then like I'll wait, and then she'll never call me back, and I'm like, wow, she really like drove that one home.
She moved on.
Yeah, and
yeah,
after, like,
exactly.
So
I'm over
years,
that.
Well, I'll have
you
to call you
the hand
tomorrow, and we'll see our phone call.
Oh, God. And there it starts.
On the way to work.
Oh, right.
That's great.
Well,
I'm happy now. Right? We totally lost the relevance to any kind of podcast, but the fact that I have someone else that says the, and now I'm going to use it on a daily basis.
You already
I mean, when you think about it, if you're going to go to the grocery store, doesn't it sound so much better if you're going to go to the grocery store? You know, it just sounds more proper.
Well, what it means, it shows emphasis, right? So it's the grocery store. Like, that's the one, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Not every grocery store is the grocery store.
No.
You know?
And just because I'm going there means it's the grocery store. That's the thing.
Don't abuse it, Rob. It loses it.
I know.
You can't emphasize everything because then everything's the same.
And that's
true.
What he's going to do.
I used to always say live paranormal instead of live paranormal, and it would make her mad.
Oh, no.
You know, and then after like 4 or 5 years, I still think it's funny, but I'm like, welcome to live, but... What are you gonna do?
It's funny.
But anyway,
when I was in high school, they had this like, they had this campaign to make everybody feel great or whatever. I don't know what it was. Maybe the kids were suicidal. I don't know what it was, but they handed out these pins to everybody that said "I'm special," right? And I was like, I'm not wearing this. And it wasn't it was because I'm like, well, if everyone's special, then no one is. Like, that was my
mentality. Exactly, loses it. Right, it loses its specialness because everybody's special.
Right, it's like the kids, you know, you go to a kid's like soccer game or something and every kid gets a trophy or whatever, you know, or every, it's like, that they lose the motivation to do your best, you know?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah, weird.
Totally. Hey,
we are all
But I'm
going to
get Rob an I'm special pin because he deserves one.
He's the special Rob.
That's
yeah,
right. The special one. For yeah. sure.
I'm not sure. Like, well, you know, what can you do? But so let's get the schedule now. So for 2.5 years from now, we'll have you back on the Live Paranormal. And hopefully we'll still be kicking. I guess that's the ultimate goal.
I hope so.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
It is.
Yes.
And I guess there's really no segue to end the show properly with the whole V part, because it's I guess you just say
no, that's
goodbye.
The end.
It's,
I mean, you're
the end.
Done.
Right,
yeah.
The end. Boom.
The end. No, we keep going on.
Right.
All right. Well,
we'll
try to do this again
soon.
Maybe when they put out the information on when the season's coming back out, you can come and promote the show.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Be safe. Have fun out there and keep up the good work. Appreciate it. You're the best.
All right.
Thank you.
That's right. Right. So are you. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Well, that was really pleasant.
Yeah.
Especially the ending. That was my favorite part.
Uplifting.
It was. It made me feel better because there was a couple ups and downs there that I was just turning. And I was like, you know, if we're going to end it, you're going to end it on, you know, the top part of the interview. And I think that was it.
Right. There you go.
No, but all kidding aside, you know, I've always enjoyed talking to Grant, and, you know, I know he does the investigating the right way. And, you know, you talk about it all the time more than I do when it comes to the television shows and how people act and portray themselves on the television shows and how they magically get tons of evidence in a small amount of time. And, you know, he was
never... And I know editing. I get editing
like
for TV. Like, I totally understand that you can't have every single second and aspect of the entire investigation, that, you know, you're looking for the highlights, you know, but having a, you know, have more realistic, I guess, view, and maybe this is, you know, all in the editing room, but having a more realistic view that not just because I walked in the room and these are the claims and boom, 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 there you go, next room, you know, showing that, you know, there's more to it, and you don't always get what you think you're going in for. You know, it's the unknown. So having some of
the
those
unknown
factors, the unknown, okay, having those factors and having them portrayed, I think puts a more, I don't know, realistic, and which would be appreciated, I know, by us who do this, you know, in the field and working with the public, you know, doing public things, having people have a realistic idea that just because that's what, you know, somebody says happens in the room doesn't mean you walk in and boom, there it happens. I get you have to edit for TV. You've only got a limited time frame. But just because those are the claims, those are the only things that somebody gets when they walk in that room. You know, it's like, oh, they met their quota. You know, that's, to me, unrealistic. In an ideal situation, oh, look, everything that's supposed to happen just happened. Fantastical, on to the next. You know, it's just not realistic. I know even in my daily life, nothing happens that way. And if it does, I start to question what's going on. You know?
Well, as we talked about it last week, and hopefully people who enjoyed our show last week are also enjoying the show this week. We talked about, I would say, a handful of investigations we've had where we've actually gone in and got what we were looking for and nothing else. Or just got anything we were looking for in general. You know, we talked about the little boy maybe, or this and that. But I think that's our greatest skill set, is not being manipulated by what we think we're going to get.
Right.
You know, we keep an open mind, and very rarely do we, I mean, I could think of maybe once or twice that we've tried to actually, you know, get something specific. And it's just, when you do, I think it's definitely an issue. And I think you know, sometimes when you're building a storyline for television, it makes it difficult. But in reality, when you have to stay on that storyline, it makes it difficult to stray, but yet you have to, because then it's just not legit.
Right.
You hate to, you know, put something out there that's not legit because you want to stay on a storyline, you know. And we gave that example last week of, you know, us taking a group, trying to go talk to a little kid. And if we had a complete opposite, you know, we got an older guy who was like yelling obscenities at us through the ghost box. So, you know, you never can tell. And it's more in the paranormal because you're dealing with, you know, what essentially were people or spirits that have, you know, are knowledgeable of what you're doing and why you're there. So, you know, I know for a fact there's probably 10 things I would want you to say, but you're not going to say them just because I want you to say them, you know, or do.
Oh, I definitely am never going to do that.
Yes, I know. You've made that clear.
Right.
Hey, one thing you don't tell Nicole is, hey, why don't you do this? And you would think after that amount of time, I'd be like, hey, why don't you do this and have it like play like the opposite of what
the
I really want you to do.
The psychology effect?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've never tried that before.
Too smart for that. Just ask my parents. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a middle ground somewhere. I haven't found it yet,
nope,
but one day.
It's my way. I have to do things my own way. I'm never going to do it based off of what I'm, you know, just because somebody says this is the only way to do something, or if they say I can't do something, I will practically kill myself trying to prove to you and will achieve my goal that I can, and I will.
It'd be the goal because it'd be the most important one.
Right. I don't like being put into a, you know, situation where, it's, you know, you have to do something a certain way, because in this field especially, that's not true. You know, there's many different ways to go about an investigation, many different ways to utilize even tools that other people haven't even, you know, thought of using in a certain way. You know, there are other ways to use some of them, not all of them, but some of them. And there's things that aren't even tools that can be utilized and you know, it become part of your staple tools, you know, that aren't thought to be a tool in the first place. That makes sense.
That's a lot of tool talk.
I know. Lots of tools. Mm-hmm. It went into the theme with the whole screwdriver thing from earlier. You know.
I hear you.
Makes sense.
I just thought it was a lot of tool talk.
Yeah. Lots of tools.
But it's true. You know, there's things that, you know, I know you purchase and you buy for the reason of using it for paranormal investigating that people would never think of.
Never,
you know,
even
and
right.
I try to do the same thing. Whenever I see something, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that could be used for this.
And you know what? You don't know until you try. And if you use it just because at one location, you know, you don't seem to have much luck, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be something that you might try somewhere else. And hey, it might be like the thing that, you know, gets you some validation on something happening in a certain area. I mean, be open-minded. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to all of this is being open-minded and to think outside the box.
I think you may have just said the thing, which I applaud you for. Not sure if you did, though. Maybe it's just
I use the word. Okay.
I thought maybe you struck
just
me with vocabulary.
Just I don't emphasize the way that you do. That's all.
Well, and you know, we both purchased an Echo during their $9 sale, and I think it'd be amazing if we put an Echo out and you go in there and say you have to say "Hey Alexa" first and then ask a question. If it would somehow go off, it was well worth the $9.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I highly doubt it, but, you know, I highly doubted many things in my life, not just paranormal. And
don't knock it till you've rocked it.
You never know. So that's an example. We bought, what was the Echo product? It wasn't the Dot. It was whatever it was. It does not have a speaker. It was on sale for $9, $9.99. And I bought one just for the fact that, you know, I might go into a location where I feel it is intelligent, and I'll explain how it works and, you know, leave the room and have a camera running. Like, hey, if you want to make this work, you want to ask any questions, find anything out, you just have to say, "Hey Alexa" first, which would be kind of crazy, super crazy actually.
But don't knock it, because you know what? The minute you do, that'll be the time that it does work and it happens. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, every investigation we're going to rip it out and be like, okay, ghost, let's do a little learning session here. You're going to say, hey, Alexa, and then whatever it is you want to say or do. Okay, thanks. You know, and have success. But to say that it would never happen, you know, I can't say that. Can't say it.
Well, and I think it definitely would up the intelligent hopping game. Yeah, it would be amazing.
Oh, it'd be pretty,
especially if it was like
awesome.
They ask a question that's relevant to the building or relevant to the area or something that would be unique to where we were.
Or if it said, hey, Alexa, what the hell are these people doing?
Yeah.
You know, we'd be like, and it'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, look that up on the web, you know, or whatever. But if it, you know, it would be pretty cool. Probably less likely, statistically speaking, for it to occur. But I can't say that it would never happen. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We've had, you know, an example that comes to my head is that I set up a ball to go down the steps. We're at the Keeley Mansion, and there was a wiffle ball. And the wiffle ball occasionally was said to be knocked down the steps or moved or, you know, so I put the camera out. We were leaving, put the ball at the top of the steps and was like, all right, kick it, you know, make it move, drop it down the steps, do something. And it turned out that I had the camera pointed at the door behind and the door unlatched and opened up by itself. You know, I wasn't planning that. You know, so you never know what
right,
you're
and it
get.
Wasn't like when we left, you know, like that the, you know, the air pool or whatever. It was well
definitely
after
not the air.
We had gone and we had been gone, and it's not like we were about to, you know, open the door, about to open the door. It was like no heat, no air conditioning, no windows open, you know, no explainable rationality as to why a door would then completely unlatch and open, you know, that, especially not one that it, as many times as we've been there and had the pleasure to investigate there, and hours that we spent there, never having it happen in a different time, you know, it's not like, oh, that latch is loose, you know, that door. No. In fact, that's one of the ones that when it's pulled to, it's hard as hell to open.
You need to put a little shoulder into it.
You know, having that happen. Yeah, exactly. So to have that occur is pretty cool. Do I say if we went there every time and set a camera up that we would have that happen? Hell no. Because I'm sure based off as much time as we've spent there that, you know, that we could have it occur, you know, the way that it happened to occur that day. I mean, that was awesome. So you just never
know. Happening right now. No. So I think that's the thing leading to your point to, hey, let's try something for the paranormal. And, you know, I think that's the best mindset to have because, you know, as Grant made reference to, you know, people don't see the little lights going off or whatever, and they get all bummed out or, you know, they think that's the only way to do it. But, you know, there is no way that's 100% accurate. You know, there's things that you can put out, and you know, there's things that obviously if you're going to where a child is known to haunt or be there, be present, then you bring your balls and stuff, you know, that's kind of like industry standard. But you know, there's things mm-hmm. that you can try that, you know, you might get lucky, you never know, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not going to hurt anything, you know, that might be the,
right.
the next
what's the worst
the
that happens
big...
nothing okay. You know?
Yeah, so when you're out and about in your daily life, you can, you know, have an open mind. Think, hey, I might be able to use that in my investigations.
Mm-hmm. And if you found something that you use that you think, you know, is pretty cool and it's not something that's, you know, like a paranormal tool that works for you, let us know. You know, we'll see if we can, you know, have a swing at it, you know? I believe in sharing, you know, knowledge within the field, you know, having these people who are like, oh, this is mine. I'm not telling anybody. I think that's silly, you know, completely silly.
I was gonna say dumb, but
well,
silly's
all
good
the
too.
Above. It works. Same thing.
No, we should actually post something on Facebook. Hey, if you use something that's like not industry standard, or it's not even an industry, a hobby standard, you know, let us know and we'll
right,
try
something
it out.
That's outside the box. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that people need to be willing to communicate and share, you know, stuff that they have found useful. There's no point in sitting there, you know, holding something and being like, oh, it's mine, it's only mine, when, you know, and saying I'm the first person to ever, that term just really irritates me, because there's so many people who claim to be the first ever in this field, and it's such BS, you know.
We've had that happen
crazy.
To us.
People
before.
Have been doing this a long well, you know, not only that, but it's been how long have people been dying? How long have people been inquisitive as to the spirit realm and things of that sort? To think that you are the only one who came up with this idea is asinine. You know, just because you're the first person who decided to put it on YouTube, that does not make you the first person ever. Okay, so to assume that you are the first person ever to do something or to have had been to a place or had an idea, you know, is naive. Share.
Well, and that's the beauty of hobbyists. You know, hobbyists, they're cutthroat sometimes.
No need to be. No need to be. Plenty of ghosts to investigate, plenty of places to go, plenty of different things to try. And how are we ever going to get anywhere if we don't share with each other? You know? We're not. We need to be able to share and be open-minded and all that good stuff. So that's
I think open-minded is more is the key, because we had, you know, and that's even... I'm picking on myself. You know, I was not open-minded for you. I guess I've always been somewhat open-minded, but using specific devices, I have not. You know, even the ghost box. So, you know, I think when you become more open-minded, I'm totally open-minded now. You know, you'll buy something, then before I would have been like, oh, that's interesting, and roll my eyes. But now I'm like, all right, cool, let's try it. Let's put it out, because you just never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, you can put, you know, a bubble wand pre-soaked with bubbles just sitting there and be like, hey, I think that we're going to try to get a ghost to blow a bubble. And I'd be like, all right, cool, let's see what we got, you know, at this point. Because you never know. I mean, it could be something that bizarre that you might want to try, and you never know. Next thing you know, you'll see a ghost bubble come, which I don't know. That's
kind
of weird
to say. I really
want to
see a ghost bubble.
I don't know. The ghost bubble just sounds weird, but... You hear when I said ghost bubble,
like a
weird interference on our broadcast for the first time?
Wow.
Did you get that too,
but
or
you know
is it
what?
Just my ear?
I couldn't tell. But I like the idea of ghost bubbles, and I guarantee you, within a matter of seconds after we've just mentioned it, somebody's going to, like, you know, orientaltrading.com, ordering a whole case of bubbles, slapping their sticker on it with their logo, of course, on it, and selling it for at least 40 times the cost of the original product, just because they're going to call it a paranormal something.
No, my question is, and I'm not a bubble connoisseur by any means, if you do have the wand, dip the wand in the bubble, how long will it stay before it actually...
I don't
just,
know. That
like...
would have to be a scientific you know, type of experiment, because in different temperature climates, elevations and things of that sort, it probably have a different outcome.
And it just didn't
but
know if it makes it relevant.
Trying, you never know. You never know. I mean, it's hypothetical, the bubbles. Okay, but, you know, any item, you know, somebody's probably going to slap the expensive price tag because they're going to call it a tool.
I like the ghost bubble idea. I think it's very,
right.
Very, very sound.
Exciting.
Yeah,
but we have been on air for even longer than we were supposed to be. So
you can't pop my enthusiasm on that.
On your enthusiasm bubble on that. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Remember to go over to The Grant Wilson on YouTube and make sure you subscribe and, you know, check out our stuff at Live Paranormal, because you never know when something new might pop up somewhere, like popping a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you everyone for tuning in.
I wanted to thank you for doing the show again, and thank Grant Wilson. And don't forget to go to our Facebook page, The Live Paranormal.
You broke up.
Did I really, or are you just saying that?
No, you broke up. Go ahead and say it again. Would I ask you to say it again if you didn't?
That's true, because I did put a plug in for our Facebook page of The Live Paranormal.
Yes. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, all that good jazz. And we will be back this, 10:30 Tuesday next week with another fun and exciting guest and lots of ideas. Present us those things, though. If you use something in the field that's not typically considered a, you know, staple paranormal device in most people's kits, share with us. And we would be happy to share with you. And, you know, we could all grow and learn and try different things. Be fun.
Well, and I know it's not it's kind of a weird number, but we did reach our 67,000 follower, during the show. So that was
cool.
On Facebook. Yeah, that's something we strive, because we do not buy our followers and people who like us. And we do have a high rate of engagements, because they're all people who listen
and
follow along with what we do. Real people. And we're 67,000 strong, and we appreciate probably 66,000 and some of you. there's probably the one or two people we don't appreciate, but then you know who you are.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you everyone once again for tuning in, and catch us next week, and have a wonderful and safe week. Till we talk again.